Babies are a lot of work. I try and pitch in. I do diapers. I mean, I don't change them, but I go, you got to do this diaper. We have three other kids, too, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. I should probably learn their names. 4 kids. Bedtime is a crisis. They act like they've never been to sleep before. Bed? What's that? No, I don't want to do that. Then it becomes some hostage negotiation, but in reverse. Look, if you stay in there, I will give you whatever you want. I will meet your demands. What do you want, a helicopter to Cuba? Anything. Just stay in there. There's always one awake. Like they're taking shifts. All right, I'll annoy him from midnight to 2. Who wants 3 to 6? Now let's lie down and practice kicking him in our sleep. Because my wife has instituted this open door policy where if one of our kids has a nightmare, they're welcome to come in our room and pee in our bed. Luckily, that only happens every night.
It's 7:08 at WRJN Radio. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to our WRJN historical marker number 8. Tim Edis, he was our vice president, general manager at WRJN for several years, instituted a lot of great things at the radio station. We are exploring the history of WRJN leading up to our 100th anniversary in 2026. We're talking to as many people as we can. We've had 7 interviews leading up to number 8, which is Tim. And thank you for joining us as he's driving on his way to work somewhere. Hi, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Don, and good morning, WRJN audience. I have some flashing lights behind me. Is that something I should pay attention to or not?
And by the way, if they stop, you don't know me if they stop you. Don't even mention my name.
Don Rosen said it's okay to do 65 on the Beltline. But then again, everybody does 65 on the Beltline in Madison.
You mention my name, fines are doubled.
That's what I've heard. So, you've made friends with the state legislature so many times, Don.
I've had so many years working with Tim here at WRJN Radio, and he instituted a lot of great things. We're going to talk about that. First, I want to know how you even got into the radio business, because you are a real radio guy. There are people that come in as general managers, and they're not radio people, but you're a radio person. So how'd you get started in the whole mess here?
I have 2 words for you, Herb Tarlick. In all honesty, it was WKRP in Cincinnati was on when I was in junior high, and I thought that'd be kind of a cool job to be like Dr. Johnny Fever or Venus Flytrap or, you know, any of those others. But I ended up being Herb Tarlick and the big guy. I'm trying to think. Arthur Carlson,
yeah.
So when all is said and done, you know, again, it was just kind of a long, lifelong passion. When I was in high school, they had something called Senior Class Days at our local radio station. And when all was said and done, none of the seniors wanted to do it. None of the juniors wanted to do it. And I was a sophomore. And I said, well, I'll take a stab at it. And from that point forward, I worked in radio. So that was it'd be about this time of year, 1983.
And you've worked at a number of radio stations like all of us. So what was your first station you worked at?
That would have been WMCW in Harvard, Illinois.
What'd you do there?
So I actually started out as a copywriter, and then they said, well, let's take a chance on them on air. And I did afternoons on the weekends when I was in high school, and did that pretty much all the way through my sophomore year of college, and then ended up doing overnights in Rockford at an oldie station until I graduated from college.
Okay, and what'd you go to college for, by the way?
Radio. It was easy. You know, that was the easy A.
Do you know, when I went to Hofstra University, I was working at a commercial station at the time, and I was doing the overnight 7 nights a week, and I was janitor at the station. And when I went to college, Hofstra, they had an FM station there, which was pretty big. I mean, they carried the New York Islanders at one time, and so they were a pretty big station. And I wanted to work there on the air. And I remember I was sitting on the floor. Now, this was the early 70s, hippies, you know, the hippie type of movement. And so I'm sitting on the floor, and the guy who runs the station stepped over me and says, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to see if I can get a job here at the radio station." "I don't think we want you here." Cut to about 5 years later, I am now the public, I'm doing afternoons, and I'm now the public service director at this radio station, WGBB. He walks in begging for help with public service announcements. He didn't remember me because he stepped over me and didn't really look at my face, but I remembered him. I gave him the public service announcements. I don't hold a grudge much. And so in college too, I never got to work at my college radio station, but you did. All right, so you're in Harvard, Illinois. You graduate college. What do you do then?
So actually, the Monday after I graduated college, I went into sales. I'd been a sales intern for the last year of college, just trying to get extra credits and stuff like that. And about a year, give or take, later, they made me sales manager of our little AM country station that we had as part of the cluster. And then I left Rockford, came to Madison, and was actually here with a standalone FM. This is when they did the 80-90 drop-ins, another great idea from the FCC. And we moved a station from Watertown, Wisconsin to Madison, 94.1, and went up against a well-established market leader, Z104, and really got our butts kicked for about a year. And I said, you know, enough of this. So one of my clients hired me as their marketing director. You know, it's a 23-year-old kid, knows everything. And when that was all said and done, that lasted about 3.5 months, and I had to get back into radio. So actually went to Janesville and ran a standalone FM station there. And that was there 5.5 years. And that's when the folks at Bliss Communications, who ended up buying WRJN, said, "Let's hire this guy away. We're tired of competing with him." And I came to Racine.
Yeah, that's a thing in radio. When competitions didn't want to compete anymore, they just to buy them and just offer them a job. And it was a lot easier. That recently happened to me at another station I work for in another part of the country. And we beat them in mornings for the first time in years. So the guy who runs their chain offered me a job at a station in Rockford, Illinois, one of his stations. I didn't want to go. They're buying me out. I like these people I work for in Cheyenne. And so, but it does still happen where if they can't beat you, they buy you.
That's just it. And again, the broadcast industry has certainly changed, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in this hour. But when all is said and done, it's still a competition, and it's a friendly competition most of the time.
But
at the same time, it's one everyone wants to win, and yet there can only be one winner, right?
Yeah, in my early days in radio, when DJs were doing stunts with each other, they used to mail each other tarantulas, stuff like that, and you know, with little notes, say, "I'm going to sting you and end your morning show," stuff like that. I don't think we do. I haven't gotten anything in the mail lately, so maybe they don't do it anymore. So Bliss Communications, Skip Bliss, we're going to have as one of our, I spoke to him, we're going to have him on our historical marker series. I had a nice conversation with Skip. We'll have him on there. He was the owner of the station, and I remember the day you came to this radio station to talk to for an interview or whatever. You pulled up in a purple pickup truck.
Yep, a purple Ford Ranger. Guess what I'm driving now?
Not that car.
It's not a Ford Ranger, and it's bright orange. So,
well, you rebuild cars.
I do. I haven't done any in a couple of years, but yes, I do.
So you rebuild cars, and I've seen some of your work, and it's just beautiful. You do great work on these cars. Okay, so you're in the thing, and I'm snooping around your car, looking around through the windows, and I see a whole bunch of radio stuff in there, and you basically say, "Get your nose out of my car." But you came to WRJN as vice president, general manager. What was the year?
That would have been 1997. So I actually came as sales manager, that was when Tony Gazzana was still the sales general manager.
Yeah.
Yep. So Tony was general manager, and then they parted ways around the first of the year. And Ed Duty came in. You might remember Ed.
Yes.
You guys used to talk movies all the time.
He
just
passed away about 2 years ago. I was sorry to hear
that. Yeah. Ed had a long fight, and again, really pleasant guy, great pianist. He could play piano like no one's business. One of the things that I remember best about Ed is helping him move his piano into his apartment. So that's what sales managers do, I guess. Anyway,
before you move on, we have an Ed Duty story to tell you and I. We were at a budget meeting in Janesville, Wisconsin, with our owner. Actually, with Bob Daly, was the president of Bliss Communications. And I was there with you and Ed Duty, and Ed Duty fell asleep at the meeting. Do you remember that?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
His head went down, he dozed off, and he, you know, just like small snores. And they were asking us, and I'm staring at him. I said, he's sleeping? He fell asleep at the budget meeting.
No one ever said they were really exciting. You got to do your due diligence and get your rest while you can.
Okay, so you worked under Ed Duty as general manager, and when he left, is that how you became vice president GM?
Yeah, they promoted me in April of, let's see, that would have been about 2 years later. April of 2000. So we just crossed over into the world's going to fall apart and Y2K and all that other. And so April of 2000 until roughly, I guess it was April of 2010, I was general manager and vice president.
And how long did that last? How many years?
Well, it was 10 years. Yep.
A decade of decadence.
It was certainly decadent. I mean, Bliss Communications was one of the only places that actually gave us expense account. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that's been pretty rare since.
What'd they give you?
An expense account.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, some companies still have them. Here's something you don't see. Here's profit sharing. You don't see that anymore.
Exactly. You know, it was a great company to work for. And again, it learned a lot and worked under some great people, like you mentioned. Again, Bob Daly and Skip Bliss. Just fantastic, you know, inspiration and always wanted to see you win. And Rob Lisser, again, taught me a lot about accounting.
Yeah, Rob Lisser. Hold on the line. We're talking to Tim Edes. He was our vice president general manager here at WRJN Radio. He is WRJN historical marker number 8. I hate to make it just sound like you're, you know, in the history, dusty history books, but, you know, we want to keep track of our history because, you know, we're not all going to be around here forever. And with our 100th birthday coming up in 2 years, we want to make sure there's a preserved history of this radio station. And we're talking to as many people as we can, even posthumously. We did our last one about Terry Bond, and we talked to his wife posthumously about Terry. So we're taking care of business here. It's 719 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. I'm Don Rosen. Keep it here. WRJN historical marker number 8 in the history of this radio station is an important person in the history. Tim Edes, who was our vice president general manager for many years. Had a lot of fun with you, Tim. You know, that's part of the thing about radio is it's not a back-breaking job. You don't go home at the end of the day and say, oh, I need a massage. Oh, I need to get a back rub. Oh, my neck is killing me. It's not that bad a job. I mean, you have fun at this job, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And again, as our friend Eddie Schultz, you might remember him, used to say, we don't have to go home at the end of the day and take a shower like everybody that has a real job.
You know, people say, how many years have you worked? None. Yeah. I mean, basically, you'd be having fun at this job. Everybody in we just had a staff meeting here yesterday. Nobody's griping about anything. What do you have to gripe? No. You sit here all day, either play music or talk. I mean, how difficult can that be?
do you realize what you do for a living? And, you know, the fact of the matter is it's an extremely important thing, particularly to the community and small communities like Racine, Kenosha, even here in Madison. You know, being able to connect with that audience, they rely on you every single day. So it's an important job, but it definitely is not backbreaking, except when you have to set up your own remotes. That's sometimes.
Yeah, remotes are when you go out on the road and you broadcast from a store or you broadcast from an event, and we've done many. Some have worked out well, some not so much. Because you're dealing with, you know, you're not in a studio. You're in a place where you're open to the elements sometimes. You're with equipment that can fail. I mean, equipment fails. I mean, it's nobody's fault. Things do break. But we always have fun doing it. Broadcasting from, I remember we used to broadcast from the Wisconsin State Fair for 11 days. The thing about the Wisconsin State Fair is, if you're there, you're there. You have to be there when they open up, and you have to be there when they close. I'll tell you a quick funny story. So we're broadcasting there, and I'm showing up at, you know, noon, and we're leaving at, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. So we get a call. We were doing a co-thing with a car dealer, and we get a call from the director of the state fair, and she calls me up and says, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm back here at the radio station." She says, "Well, I'm at your broadcast site, and I see two stupid cars and no announcers here. Where are you? You have to be here when we open up the fair." Really? I didn't know that. So I ran out there. We actually hired some part-time people to sit there on beach chairs, you know, to sit there and just man the tent. I mean, there was nothing else we could do. And at night, Tony Gazzana and I sat there from 7 o'clock until closing time at 11 on beach chairs in the dark because we had to stay there. And I did something which I didn't realize I was doing. I ratted out another radio station. I said, "Well, they're not staying here. They leave early every night." And they were thrown out of the fair. And it was a big radio station.
They deserved it.
You know what it was? It was 95.7. It was... they were WZUU at the time, I think, or something like that. They were not RIT, but they got thrown out of the fair because I ratted. They gave me the mark of the squealer across my face. Anyway, so we've done a lot of good remotes. Can you think of any remotes we've done that you were involved? Oh, I know what you were involved in. I know a big one. You were involved in that bicycle promotion we did at Elmwood Plaza, where you took old bicycles that people donated, fixed them up, and gave them to families that needed them.
That was probably one of the best and most satisfying things, and replicated that in other markets since, too. And it's, frankly, a little choked up talking about it because there are people that simply can't afford things like that, still today. And, you know, again... using the limited mechanical skills I had and certainly the gracious support of the audience, I think that first year that we did it, especially the one at Elmwood Plaza, I think that was the second year. I think we did it at a bike store the first year. But that second year, I think we had well over 250 bicycles, and that was phenomenal. There's a group here actually in Madison that has replicated that idea and uses it regionally now and is somewhat involved in that through promotion at this time. So.
Yeah, I remember all the bicycles coming in, and we were broadcasting from there every day at Elmwood Plaza. It was where, it was that big store.
Yeah, it used to be Goldblatt's.
Yeah, Goldblatt's, and it's been a million things since then, but it was huge, and all these bicycles were in there, and people were just donating them, and I thought that was a great thing you did. And you're there with your little toolkit, and you're fixing all the bikes.
Yep, we had fun.
And, yeah, and they're probably still in use today. Bicycles last a long time.
Some can, yeah. And those two kids now, one of them has kids of their own. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the circle of life, as they say, right?
Were you there when I did the 24-hour broadcast from there?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was for some food. We were trying to get food for, you know, people that couldn't afford a lot of food for their families. And it was a food drive, and we did it from that same place. And they said, "Why don't you stay on the air 24 hours?" What, me? So we got on the air. And I was there for 24 hours on, this was on our FM station, WEZY. And I was there for 24 hours. I took, the only breaks I took were to run home and walk the dog. I was at a condominium complex right down the road. And I ran home to walk the dog and came back, but I never slept. And 24 hours, and we had little sheets of paper doing a countdown up the thing.
I kind of remember that. Yep, that was something. Yes. Yeah, and again, I mean, some of the, obviously, the live broadcasts from Festival Hall, you know, for the anniversaries every 5 years, so those certainly, you know, really stand out as major productions, but at the same time, really doing what local radio does best, and that's communicating and connecting with, again, the local audience.
You know, as fun as it is for disc jockeys on the air, for the management, you guys have to bring in the money. I mean, this electric bills, land taxes, salaries, we all got to be paid. And bringing in the money is constant. It never stops. You have a team of salespeople working for you, and you're only as good as your salespeople you hire. So it's not all fun. I know we have a, you know, Chris Morrow is our manager now, and he's director of sales for Civic Media, and he's got to bring in money. I mean, it's got to be all the time. That's got to be a rough job.
It is and it's not. I mean, again, I think if people get value out of their marketing and their advertising investment, truth is they'll be back. And one of the things that someone taught me a long time ago is that you can make a sale or you can make a good a partner. Sales, oftentimes, you know, you have a lot of, what do I want to say, people that just simply don't get the results that they should get, particularly when it comes to radio, because you have to use it correctly. It's kind of like you know, having a prescription from the doctor. If you don't use it correctly, it's not going to cure, and you're not going to get anything out of it. But it's a long-term proposition. You have to have frequency. You have to reach people, and often you have to reach the right people, right? Well, the truth of the matter is so a lot of people that get into sales, let alone radio sales, are just simply out to pad their pocket as opposed to helping the business. And you know, it happens in every industry. That's the problem. But if you have good people that are dedicated to helping clients and the local community grow, then frankly, it's not as much of a struggle as you might think.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about with Tim Eaters, our former vice president, general manager at WRJN Radio. We're going to talk about some of his legacies, some of the people he worked with, and he could mention some of their names, some of the salespeople, and some of maybe the air talent that he worked with here. And then after he left here, he went on to other radio stations and other markets and bigger jobs. So we're going to talk about that and where he is today. That's all straight ahead. It's 729 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. Hometown Radio refreshed, a Civic Media station. A lot of flying. I went to go look outside to see how nice it was, you know, the temperature, and a fly flew and he followed me into the studio.
Flies.
What'd you say there, Tim?
I said, even if they're flies, you need listeners, so just take what you get.
It could be an old relative of mine, so I got to be careful not to swat it. You never know. Okay, we're talking to Tim Eaters at WRJN Radio. He was our former vice president and general manager. This is WRJN historical marker number 8. If you're just joining us, what we're doing is we're keeping track of all the people that worked here in the past and putting together an historical record of it, because we turned 100, we will turn 100 years old in 2 years. And the reason, just a quick background here, I lost a dear friend of mine in radio, Bill Moose, about several months ago, maybe 6-7 months ago. And his wife asked me to speak at his funeral, and I did. And she said, do you have any air checks of him? An air check is some recording of him on the air. And I said, no. I said, don't you? She goes, no, he never saved any of them.
Mm.
So he was on the air. He was in WIBU, not far from you. He was at that radio station for about 10 years. He was at WEZW in Milwaukee, which is 103.7 for 20 years, and there's nothing on the radio of his existence. Isn't that scary? So at that point at the funeral, I said, I'm not going to let that happen here at this radio station. We're gonna make an historical record so we have something of everybody that worked here. I found that shocking, don't you? 30 years on the radio, there's nothing that shows he ever worked on the air.
Yeah, and again, especially with the internet being what it is, and some of the people that in our industry and or our fans of the broadcast industry, a lot of people are collectors, and it's just amazing to me that, you know, if you even put something out on one of the, well, they used to be radio boards, but now you could probably just put it out on the internet, that somebody doesn't have something somewhere. But I'll bet you're right that it's just simply not in existence anymore.
And there were, you know? there were air checks on the internet, but they weren't of him. And 20 years on the radio, you figure somebody would have saved something, but nope, nobody saved it. Okay, so you were vice president, general manager here at the radio station, and I promised our audience when you weren't listening earlier today, I would ask you to do your Barney Fife impersonation, because I watch the Andy Griffith Show at night a lot, and I think of you almost every night when I watch Barney, because you do the best Barney Fife.
I have not done that in several years, but I'll give it my best shot for you, probably when you least expect it. I have to think of something clever to say, but I will say this, is that that Barney Fife impression when I was very young in this industry, because when I ran the Janesville radio stations prior to coming to Racine, I used to pull an air shift, and they kind of got wind of some of the impressions that I did at a place called Morning Sidekick. And they said, well, you know, we'll send you over some scripts. And this time you mailed everything back and forth. This was before the internet. We'll just pay you for it. Well, that Barney Fife impression for about 2 years made my house payment every single month.
Well, you think about it. And before you leave today, I will demand a Barney Fife. Because you do it so, you got that sniffle that he does.
I was so relieved that you didn't ask me to do the Krusty the Clown.
I was just going to say that. Hi, kids. Hiya, hiya.
Hey, what happened? That's the clean version of it, by the way.
Krusty the Clown from The Simpsons. How you doing?
Another budget meeting.
I'm going to take a snooze. Okay, so give us some of the fun things you remember about the radio station. Some of the people you worked here with at the time. I want to get some of the people's names mentioned. Now, I know you worked with Ron Richards, who was our announcer. He was also a program director here at the station. And later, our operations director at WRJN and our FM WEZY. So you worked with him. Give us some of the people, some of the salespeople. Do you remember names and stuff?
Well, sure. You know, again, there's people by Greg Zajac, who's still in the business, and he actually is up in, oh, goodness, at the Polka Station. I'm trying to think of that. What's the name of it?
WTKM.
Thank you. He's still up there selling for a gentleman by the name of Dave Duncan, who was actually my program director in Rockford, Illinois. Duncan is... Dave Stout is his real name, but he actually bought that with his wife, Connie. And talked to me several times about buying it, and I don't want to. But that's okay.
You know, I remember Greg Zajac. All of us, yep. a bald guy.
big yeah. Voice like this.
Greg Zajac. Okay, who else?
Well, obviously, Jeff Brochot, he was kind of the class clown. You probably remember him. And, Terry McDougall, who's selling real estate now in town there. You know, those are some of the key salespeople that were around for a good period of time when we had it. And obviously, there were people that were downstairs with our magazine that we had. And Ross Warzala ran that for us. But we had a really small sales staff, really. I don't know if you remember, but three or four people were kind of the anchor, and then we'd run through, you know, a couple people here or there at the bottom of the list, if you will, and that was pretty much it for a good 13 years. We didn't have a lot of turnover once we kind of got things established. But when all is said and done, you know, again, some of the great people like Lou Turner come to mind. Lou and you and I at my bachelor party, I'll never forget some of the things, but we're not going to talk about those on air because we'd like this to not get deleted from the archives. But just some really neat things that we would do. And the one thing that you missed is the $1 million hole in one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, talk about that.
So the $1 million hole in one was, I'm trying to think of what was the name of the driving range out there, Mile Road.
No, yeah, I know. It's right there on the interstate. I'll think of it in a minute, hopefully.
Yeah. But long story short, we go out there for two or three days, and the closest to the pin would get some type of a qualifying prize. But if you got it in the hole, obviously it was $1 million. Well, the grand prize, and this is when Ed was still the general manager, Ed Duty. You had to actually record the final shots in order to basically tell the insurance company that somebody actually did get a hole in one. Literally, I'm down at the hole, if you will, and there was three or four finalists teeing off, and the last person that teed off got closer and closer and closer to the hole, and I realized that my camera, my video camera, was dead. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, please don't make it. Please don't make it.
And, of course, they did. We didn't give the money away.
No, no one won $1 million, but somebody won a trip to Whistler, Canada, so that was kind of cool.
We did have a machine called Radio Lotto. Remember Radio Lotto?
I do remember Radio Lotto, yeah.
It was a way to give away big cash, jewelry, and Coca-Cola, which we gave away. Like, and we used to schlep this thing. It was a giant old computer machine, but it looked good. It was in a giant box. We had Tom Kramer schlep this thing all over. At the state fair, wherever we went to broadcast from, he brought it with him. And if you pick six numbers at random and you got all six, you got a huge amount of money. I forget what it was. If you picked five, you got jewelry. And, you know, as you went down the list, and if you just picked one, you got a bottle of Coca-Cola. That was it. Mm-hmm. But it was something I was going to say about that. I forgot what it was. People, in order to play, you had to type in your social security number into the unit. Could you imagine doing that today? Nobody would do that.
Yep. Enter your credit card number. Something like that.
Yeah. Give us your play super. Give us everything. People used to do that without, you know, didn't bother them. Where was that golf course? I'm looking it up here. Was it the town of Raymond?
That sounds about right, yeah. And again, I think they've developed that land into something else by now, but I was just down through there about a month ago.
Yeah, it's not there. All right, well, we'll look it up someday. This is what happens when you get old. You forget all this stuff. You can't remember.
Indeed.
Okay,
indeed.
So before we get to your legacies here, I want to know, after you left here, you went to big radio station in Milwaukee. You went to the Hog.
Yeah, I was at 102.9 The Hog for 51 weeks and 4 days. It didn't quite make a year.
How do you remember that?
Because it was brought to my attention by the general manager. How come you're not at least putting in a full year? And I said, well, I start Monday at this other job. Sorry.
I have trouble remembering the years I was at radio stations. You have the exact day, minute, and second you were at that. So the Hog is the big rock station in Milwaukee, and you were there for just short of a year, and you were doing sales there, right?
Yeah. So I decided to take a step back from management and kind of unlearn some of the management things and learn some of the sales things so that in my next iteration, whether it was with that company or another, I could better serve and better work with salespeople. And it was very educational. It was a great opportunity and great people up there, too. Quite a few of them still in the building.
You once told me years ago when you were here, your dream job would be in Madison. You wanted to live and work in Madison because you're a runner and you used to run in those races in Madison. You did all that crazy stuff, mm-hmm. healthy stuff. And I got a story to tell in a minute. But so after you left the Hog in Milwaukee, you went to work in Madison, right?
That's correct. So I, again, was there at iHeartMedia as sales manager first, then director of sales, and then the last year and a half, roughly, as market president. And then in, what would that have been, June of 2022? Yeah, June of 2022, they combined the Madison and Milwaukee markets, and the lady that ran the Milwaukee market had a little bit more time in than I did, and so they offered her the job to run both markets, and they treated me right on the way out. But I was kind of on my own for a first time in a while and not able to work in radio for a while, so I went to work at a hardware store.
Really?
You may not have even heard that story.
No, I didn't.
Brand new for you.
Yeah.
I'm still working there.
You still work at the hardware store?
I kid you not. So, as you
know... Because I know you work for Adams, right?
Well, I work for Adams Outdoor during the week, but it's kind of like Batman and Bruce, you know, whatever his name was. I almost said Bruce Lee, but...
Bruce
Wayne, yeah. You have to have an alter ego, and my alter ego is Hardware Man. So I went to work. As you know, Sherry and I bought a house. We were going to flip it. Remember that when we bought the house in Algoma? And we still have it. And so I said, well, okay, if I can't work in Madison, I don't want to necessarily take a job anywhere else. I'll just go ahead and use this money that they've paid me to go away. And I'll go live up north all summer. And we moved up there for the summer and decided that that was going to be the thing. But after about a week and a half of that, I said, I can't do this anymore. I've got to do something. So I went across the street to the hardware store, and said, I'd like to apply. And they said, well, we don't have any openings here, but we do have an opening at our Rio Creek store. And Rio Creek is basically just inside of Kewaunee County and not too far from Sturgeon Bay, but not too far from Algoma either. I thought, well, it's only 5 miles. Why not? So I started work there literally the next week. But I never really walked the store. And when you go to somewhere in the middle of the country, a hardware store is not the same hardware store as the one in Algoma or in the little town. This had animal, this, that, and the next thing. Stuff that, as a city boy, I have no idea what the heck that's for. I did a lot of learning. And so to that point, when I started here at Adams in September, late September, early October, they said, you know, would you consider staying on board? You've really kind of mastered this all, and, you know, we've learned some things from you, and you've learned a lot of things here, so I still go up there at least one weekend a month and work.
Do you have to wear bib overalls and stuff? Or
No, but it is definitely not a suit and tie job.
I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, so I've been doing that coming up on 2 years now.
And you and your wife, Sherry, I was the best man at your wedding.
Yes, you were.
Sherry is a wonderful human being. You're very lucky. She is very lucky to have you, and you're lucky to have her. You guys started Uncorked on Main Street, which is that you don't own it now, but you started Uncorked on Main Street, which is a wine store. Wine all you want. Uncorked, still there, same logo, same everything, but you guys started that. Now, we only have a short time here, so what we're going to do is just start the story, and then I'll interrupt you, and we'll finish it when we get done. How'd you start that?
So we actually met at a winery in Algoma, and it was always Sherry's intention to get back into the business. She was in banking and miserable, so we decided about 9 months afterward, it was like having a baby right after you got married. 9 months after we got married, we opened Uncorked. So I believe Tony is coming up on his 21st or 22nd year in business, and again, we were there for 10 of that, a little bit over 10 of that. So Tony Begonia is now the new owner there and has been for the last almost 11 years and doing a great job.
That's right. You guys did meet in the winery. I remember that now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Doing a remote broadcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
The station.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Now, so you gotta jog my memory. This is why we want to do this stuff, because we got to get this stuff down on I was going to say tape, but we don't use that anymore. Tim Enos, he's our WRJN historical marker number 8. More coming up with Tim in just a moment. That wasn't the song Prince wrote for the Bengals. He wrote the other song for them. Okay, I thought I had some great radio trivia here, but I guess not. You know, Tim and I, we went on a mission to, I think we were going to Eau Claire to speak at a Wisconsin Radio Association, the Broadcast Association conference, and we stopped at Frenchie Bouton's funeral. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
On the way there, Frenchie Bouton, it was the weekend of his funeral, and he was buried. The funeral was in Burlington at Judy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped by on the way there, and all I remember saying, where's Frenchie? Looking for a casket, and his wife, Taffy, said, he's right there. Where? There was a little tiny box with Frenchie in it. So
go ahead. Ironically, I've been to a couple of other broadcasters' funerals since, and it seems like they're all going with the cremation. And again, that, not to make any joke of it at all, but I just kind of think that maybe that's something that is kind of appropriate, because the idea of cremation is that you can scatter your ashes and we'll still be on air.
How long have you been holding?
Make a little bit of a joke out
of it. How long have you been holding that one in your back pocket for?
I made that up on the spot, just like I did for 13 and a half years working there.
Never meant
a thing or planned a thing in the whole time I was there.
So you and I stopped at a Perkins, I remember.
The olive story.
And I got a salad, and I asked them not to put something on the salad. They did it. And they said, hold on, we'll get you another one. They came back 2 seconds later, and the things were missing. And I know for sure the guy stuck his fingers in my salad.
Oh, yeah. If I remember correctly, it was black olives.
Yes.
And the guy kept licking his fingers after he was walking away. So I don't know what that was all about.
I'm sure he picked them out with his fingers out of my salad, yeah. And I didn't want to eat it afterwards. But, do you still run?
No, I have a little bit of a heart condition and 2 brand new hips.
Wow, you are RoboCop.
I am.
You're kidding.
Shortly after I moved to Madison, I caught pneumonia and I had a collapsed lung and
near
died. And then they also found out that I had been born with a defective heart, so no more running.
Yeah, I had a heart valve put in. Everybody's got a heart valve. It's a standard procedure now to get a new heart valve or new something with your heart. Well, you take care of yourself. So now you sell for Adams, which is one of the biggest billboard companies in the state, if not the biggest one.
We're still number 3, but we try harder than harder. So we're not like Avis. Anyway, when it's all said and done, we have a significant amount of inventory in Madison and also have seen Kenosha. Still the big guys on the block are Clear Channel and obviously Lamar, too. But again, it's a lot of fun. I've got a great sales staff here that I manage and have for the last year plus. Just really, again, a nice extension of, what we were able to do in broadcast as well. A lot of the same clients and being able to get a different perspective in marketing as well.
And by the way, once you buy a billboard from Tim, he'll give you a discount on nails and screws at the hardware store. You'll get a 10% discount, right?
I'll even deliver.
Okay, so tell me about some of your legacies here. Everybody leaves something behind with the radio station. You were here for many, many years. You must have left something behind that we have today that we wouldn't have had without you.
Well, I think the big thing is you look at the timing of when I got there in 1997, and the internet was obviously taking off about that time. And so much of what we did during that period of time from, 1997 to 2010, was really very much related to how do you make this work for you as a broadcaster? How do you make this work for the audience and be able to deliver that information in a timely fashion? So the two things that I was thinking about is, number one, obviously we did good websites and had good websites out there, but at the same time, audio streaming so that people could actually listen, not necessarily on their devices at the time, but on their computers and really kind of take it with them, particularly when you have city grade signals that are not the big 50,000 watt stations. People that work in Milwaukee, maybe not be able to get 92.1 at that time in a building downtown, but they could certainly get it on their computer. So I think that's number one. The number two thing really is podcasting. And I was thinking about this a lot because you kept telling me when the 10 o'clock rolls around today that my interview is going to be on a podcast. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second here. We were kind of podcast pioneers in that we would literally have Tom Carco do 2 or 3 newscasts a day and put them on to a podcast so that people could, stay up with what was news while they were at work or while they were doing other things. And then our Saturday morning programming on WRJN also was podcasted. So we were maybe 5-10 years ahead of the rest of the country in podcasting. And all that, thanks to a gentleman by the name of Al Pervin. I don't know if you guys all still do the websites through Al, but Intertech Media, if you remember him.
Yes.
He made the suggestion. And I thought, well, why not? Let's try it. And so Skip Bliss said, hey, give it a shot. What do we know? We don't know what we don't know. And sure enough, we were kind of the pioneers, at least in that part of the state.
We don't know what we don't know. I remember that. We don't know what we don't know.
Oh. And then Bob Daley would turn around and say, they must know something we don't know.
That's right. When somebody would change a format out of what we were doing, they'd change, some other city would change from the format that we thought was the best in the world. He would say, well, what do they know that we don't know? And that's true. I mean, they know something because they made the change. The more I think about it, maybe they didn't know squat.
Well, again, they at least suspected something, right?
Now, you got to do Barney Fife for me, even if you just say...
Oh, yeah, now. Yeah, now.
Ange.
Oh, Ange. When I'm in Racine, I listen to Don Rosen on WRJN. Oh, yep,
I love it. That sniffle that he does. That's so good. I love doing these historical marker things because I love talking to people that I really enjoyed working with. Now, some of the people we're doing, I didn't work with, so I've got to bring other people in to help me with them because I wasn't here during their career. But I was here for you from the first day with that purple pickup truck that pulled into our parking lot to the last day you were. As a matter of fact, I think your last day here was just before I went in for my heart surgery.
Yeah, it was, you were about 2 weeks, later, give or take. It was a whirlwind. It was one of those things you didn't see coming, but at the same time, things happen for a reason. And once you put all that aside, the shock and everything, it certainly is a progression.
And the one thing I am so regretful of in my life is I didn't allow any visitors into the hospital, and I didn't know you were in the lobby when they said you have a visitor who wants to see you. And I said, no visitors. And it was you were in the lobby of the hospital to come visit me at St. Luke's. And I didn't let you up because I didn't want anybody in there. Tim, hold on the line. Don't hang up yet. Tim Edis was our vice president, general manager. He is WRJN historical marker number 8. If you missed any of this, you can hear the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Type in Don Rosen Show. Excuse me. And you'll find it. Just look for hour number 2 from today. Thank you, Tim. Do appreciate it, my friend.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stay right there.